Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to How Rude, Tanneritos. We are so excited about today's guest. He is one of our favorite and funniest people in our lives. You know him as Joey, although whether or not he is Uncle Joey is under constant debate.
We're going to solve that today.
We know him as Poo Poo, thanks to his ability to crack not only a joke, but also a fart at the most inopportune times. He is an actor, a comedian, a director, an impressionist, and a fellow podcaster. Please welcome the one and only Dave Coulier.
Dave!
Poo-poo!
Hello!
That's my favorite poo-poos.
Good! We just tried to do the welcoming trumpet, and it was pretty abysmal, but I was proud of myself.
Yeah, we tried. A for effort.
It sounds more like someone killing some sort of a duck or a goose, something. Yeah.
Yeah, a marsupial, maybe.
Yeah. Strangling a marsupial.
That's what I'm imagining, you know, as a marsupial.
Yes.
Is it the miracle of Thanksgiving trumpet, that one?
That one, yeah.
The miracle.
There it is. That's much better.
That's what it is. Whatever I was doing just sounded
I'm like
something I needed to take a Tums for.
Mine's an asthmatic fart.
An asthmatic fart?
No, you have to take a bump for that.
A bump?
Yeah, well, if you're taking Tums, if it's an asthmatic fart, it's a bums that you have to
take it. That's a one of those boop kind of pills.
It is. In fact, it makes that sound, boop, when it goes in.
What does it make when it comes out? I told you this is what happens. They were like, "Oh, do you think we need a rundown?" I was like, "Here's what I will tell you is that there is no way to predict what is going to happen in this interview. The only thing I do know is that it's going to go wildly off topic and have a lot of bathroom humor." So
I just finished building this house, and it's a giant bathroom.
The whole thing, every chair in it, you just lift it up, and it actually is also just for convenience.
Every seat. Every seat is a seat. Yes.
How many Japanese bidets do you have in your new house?
We have six in the toilet.
Oh my God.
We had to change the settings because every time you'd walk by like the powder room bathroom, the toilet would open up and go, "I'm ready."
It was an oversensitive toilet.
You can't have
one of those in your house. I'm just saying.
No. And it looks like the toilet's constantly hungry.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, Andrea probably has bidet envy. I do remember upon your return from Japan, wasn't that the Christmas gift that you got that year?
Oh, yeah. My dad gave them to all the kids, my brothers, me, grandparents.
And I remember laughing at it, and now I'm like,
Oh, that was the best gift ever. It's the gift that keeps on giving, you know, three times a day.
I'm so glad that this is how we started the show. Welcome.
They say the best day is a day with a bidet.
Let's get that cross stitched on a pillow.
Right?
It's like,
I'm so happy to see you guys.
Oh, I'm Dave. So happy to see you too.
So much.
Oh, and we love you.
Mud FaceTimed me yesterday, John Stamos, for those who don't.
Yes, we did. We let people know that is his nickname.
Good.
Yes.
He's very sick. He has strep and pneumonia.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm not surprised. He's been doing this book tour and just running himself absolutely ragged.
Yeah. So he's very sick and he sounds like B. Arthur. And I said, you know, if they do the B. Arthur story, you're one wig away from starring in that.
Oh,
yeah.
He's done everything else. Like, why not do the Arthur?
You know what? I'd be okay with that. Even as much as I want to be B. Arthur in the Golden Girls, John in a wig as B. Arthur in that would be fantastic.
Where's my wig?
Where's my wig? What did that come from? Where's my wig? Why?
I was goofing around with Bob and Joel's assistant, Marge.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Marge.
Marge.
We would do this bit where she would run up to Joel and go, Joel, where's my wig? And that's how that started.
Joel's assistant, Marge, was basically a real life version of Marge Simpson's sisters. Right. The smoking, like,
yes.
Hey, how is it going? You know, like, but she was like his assistant that ran everything for him. And Marge was always there and was really probably a great sport about being the butt of you and Bob's jokes.
Yes. And speaking of butts, I think Marge is the only person alive who would actually strain her coffee through a cigarette butt. That's why she sounded like that.
She just smoked her coffee, actually.
Billy Foster.
Her and Billy with the coffee, and the cigarettes. God,
We haven't really talked about anything yet, have we?
No, we haven't. No. And I said this, when we were talking to our producers about how do you think, you know, okay, what do we need to break down for the interview? I said, it's not going to go. We can write all the things down. We can do all the things. One thing that I know is an interview with Dave is a journey. Just put your seatbelts on, guys. It's like the Willy Wonka boat. You know what I mean? There might be some really terrifying things and also some really funny things. We don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah. No, we don't. But I like that. I like doing that with you guys.
I love that.
Can I, you mentioned the Japan trip, and that was the first time Andrea and I like did something together. We went to lunch, remember?
We went to lunch in Japan?
You don't remember that?
Oh, no, that was in Japan. That was New York, but that was right after Japan. Those big statues with the little weenie. Yeah, that was New York. That was Columbus Circle.
What is it? Was it promoting Fuller House?
Yes, it was that same trip where we did Japan, straight from Japan, we went to New York.
We did San Francisco to Japan to New York.
That's what we did.
In one day, we were in one 24-hour period because of the time travel, we were in Tokyo looking at a Christmas tree and then standing in Rockefeller Center and looking at that Christmas tree all within a 24-hour period. And I was like, that's really cool that I can say I did that.
But I remember those statues because you needed a shirt. Like, we were going to go on the Today Show or something the next day. And you're like, I don't have a shirt.
Right. You're like, oh, God, I didn't come to. We're like, you do know you're on a press tour, right?
So I went shopping for a shirt with you.
We went shopping for a shirt and we got something to eat and we stood by some weird statues.
Yes. The statues with the very large statues with the very small.
Yeah.
Right.
There was no more appropriate.
I mean, it could just be proportion. You know what I mean? It's it could be average, but it's just the statue was so
now
much.
I got to dig out the picture. I'll dig out the picture later. And
so when should we start the interview?
Well, that's all the time we have for today, folks.
That's all we've done.
I have a question. Andrea, is that the Full House cookie jar behind you?
It is. Yes.
But it's not the OG one, right? It's
from Fuller.
The replica. Right. Well, it's not the one that we got. It's not the one that we got one season from Jeff as a gift.
No, right, no, this is from the set.
Because we just moved into our new house here and we were unboxing things and I found the original cookie jar one.
Oh.
That's all, you know, painted like the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know where that one went.
I don't know where that one went either.
I'm sure it's in my mom. It's somewhere at my mom's house. It'll be found in a cupboard at some point.
We unboxed a ton of stuff that I didn't know I had.
Mm. Like full what?
Full House stuff from when you guys were really little. Like, you know, just my mom kept everything. Mm. And so
is the theme. All of our moms have kept we've been going through all of the things that our moms have kept. And like,
my moms
keep everything.
I know. Mm. I know. And my dad was never interested in my career. he would just ask for autographs for all the people that he knew at the local diner. Right. Went,
yes. Oh. My dad does the same. My dad would introduce me to people and he'd be like, this is my famous daughter. I'm like, oh my. But it was like both horrifying and proud.
Yeah.
My dad
would do that. He had a bunch of copies of a promo photo from like season one of Full House. And he just kept using it like 30 years later. And he'd always go, hey, Dave, sign this to Kathy and sign it Dave Coulier, would you?
As opposed to your other names?
That's what I would always say to him. Like, what am I going to sign?
How do you think I sign this normally? What do you think I put on here?
Because that was my dad. But he was never really asked me about any shows or anything. But my brother told me years later, he said, Dad watches Full House and syndication every day. Aww. And laughs. But he never told me that. Mm-hmm. And so I never thought my dad was, you know, really like cared about my career. So my dad passed away like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Right.
And Melissa and I were cleaning out his house and we found a secret drawer where he kept everything. So he was paying attention and I cried. Aww. It was such an emotional thing.
I'm gonna cry. Like, that's such a
he kept everything.
Like, that's like such a dad thing to do too, is like not say it, but like, well, say it, man.
My dad never wanted to play favorites with the four kids.
That's yeah.
So, you know, if my brother, you know, got an A in class, my dad would, you know, it was, you know, everybody got the same kind of treatment.
Right.
Or if I, you know, would come home after, you know, shooting a season or something, you know, my dad would go, hey, Dave, why don't you help Dan with the garbage?
Right.
Take the garbage out.
Making sure everybody was.
But he wanted an even playing field, you know. He would talk up what my sisters would do and what my brother would do. And in all those years, I thought, my dad could care less. And then we found that stuff and it was really emotional.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Beautiful.
I love that. Our parents like kept so much of that stuff and were such a part of, you know, a part of the show and the extended family. I love that. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/HowRude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HowRude.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Now, I was talking to Karen Miller. Her and I are developing an animated series together.
Yeah, called Mad Way. Mad. Oh, I didn't know that.
For our HRT audience, Karen Miller was one of the original producers on Full House, who has stayed friends with some of us randomly throughout the years. She is a lovely, lovely human, and worked for Disney for a long time, right?
Disney, NBC Universal.
NBC Universal, yeah.
She's the... president of Cyber Group USA, which is a huge animation company in France.
Mm. Oh,
a
great.
Big global company.
Yeah. And, I remember Karen and her daughter. Her daughter's like an adult now, but I remember, you know, her as a little kid too.
Olivia. Yeah.
Olivia. Yep.
Christopher
on extended
Olivia.
Families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christopher and Olivia. But she mentioned to me, she goes, Dave, I have the Full House cookbook. Do you want it? I said, I didn't know there was a Full House cookbook. She goes,
yes,
oh, I've got
a copy.
What was that?
Yep, we actually did a mini-sode on it on the Full House cookbook.
There, you have a recipe in there, the woodchuck fizzy.
Yep,
which is like
I think it was like woodchuck fizzy, and there was also like how to make ice or something, or like how to boil water or something. Where like your two contributions were just like something just stupid, but great.
So was that something that was happening behind the scenes, like you guys were doing that while you were in school and you were doing a project or something?
I believe Adria and the studio teachers kind of spearheaded it, and we were going around collecting recipes from everybody. And I seem to remember, I'm making this up, highly possible, but I seem to remember that we were selling them and maybe donated the money or something, or did we just make them for everybody? I thought we were like selling them and donating the money. I seem to remember that it was some sort of like project that we kind of came up with, and I don't remember for what or for why. But yeah, Adria had kind of spearheaded it, and yeah, it was a thing that we all. I mean, my mom uses the Full House cookbook all the time. Mm-hmm. Robin Donnie's chicken wings, mm-hmm. Andrea's chicken and rice recipe. Mm-hmm. My family's sweetened recipe, the chocolate gravy and biscuits is in there.
Janice's
a chili recipe. My mom. Yeah. Like we've been using it for 30 years. I, I've Highly recommended. There's some great recipes in there. I'm just saying.
Now, she told me, she said, now the original has a red cover. She goes, but mm-hmm. I photocopied this. And I said, can you send me a copy? So she's going to send me a copy.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Because I was so curious about it. I said, I've never seen the Full House Cookbook. Yeah. And now you guys just reminded me that I have a recipe in there called a woodchuck fizzy.
Fizzy. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it involves putting a woodchuck in some carbonated water.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Shake up the woodchuck. There. Yeah.
That's so funny.
What? Speaking of the woodchuck. The OG Mr. Woodchuck, I know you've talked about it before, but many people may not know he met an unfortunate demise with Ranger.
You want to see him?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
original?
I have him right here.
The husk of a woodchuck?
This is going to be a jump scare.
My dog, I'll get him. It's horrifying to look at, but it is the original.
And yeah. I'll tell you, I mean, look, it's sometimes originals are horrifying to look at.
It's kind of
we haven't found that to be the case with Full House so far. Maybe occasional joke here and there, but not. Oh my God, Andy's got a Santa hat on?
He's got a Santa hat too.
Well, what's a woodchuck without a Santa hat? You know what I mean? Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's
worse than I remember. Oh no, there it is. Okay. I was like, I thought he had eyes. He's just missing the entire. For those of you that are just listening to this podcast, I will describe what is basically the entire everything below the eyes of the woodchuck. So everything that makes a woodchuck chuck has been ripped off of his jawbone. But he is wearing a lovely little miniature tuxedo and a Santa hat. But you can see Dave's hand in the back of his throat, which is sort of jarring.
It's like an epiglottis.
Doesn't make for
It's like the hangy ball.
That's the little
thing.
Hangy ball thing.
Yeah,
He's got four of them. Wow, I didn't know woodchucks had that.
Can I tell your listeners the and viewers the story behind this? How this happened?
Please do. Please. Yes.
I had a dog, a yellow lab named Ranger, and I brought the woodchuck home. I forget why. It was probably after the show was canceled, and I brought him home and I sat him at the end of a hallway on top of a desk, and Ranger hated this thing.
Really?
Because it would sit at the end of the hallway and he would just growl at it every day. And I would go, it's a nice puppet.
Maybe the puppet was coming to life at night, Dave. Maybe.
Maybe. Like that.
I've seen that horror movie.
Movie Magic. Yeah.
There was the Puppet Masters, a whole 80s horror film. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
And Magic. There's a movie Magic.
And Magic, yeah.
Where the puppet looks like Dennis Miller. That's Bob's joke, actually. So I come home one day and Ranger would just lay at the end of the hallway and growl at the puppet. So I come home one day and I see foam everywhere on the floor.
Nothing like that when you walk into a house with a dog.
I look over and Ranger's got a bunch of this foam like in his mouth. He's chewing on it. And I see Mr. Woodchuck laying like that on the floor.
Just and victory is mine.
Oh.
My first reaction was I just cracked up. I thought, that is the funniest thing. I wish I had this on video. Him sneaking up on it, grabbing it.
Right.
And racing to the living room and then tearing the crap out of his face.
Just murdering the woodchuck.
But he
finally getting his revenge.
It's a woodchuck massacre.
Yeah.
But I was given a new. So this woodchuck, let me tell you something about this woodchuck. It's a very expensive puppet. This puppet was like $25,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So when we came up with the idea, for Ranger Joe to have a puppet.
The irony of Ranger Joe, by the way, and
Ranger Joe,
puppet, Ranger Joe Ranger. And the puppet meeting his end by Ranger.
Very true. So I went to a guy named Randy Simper. Who was a creature, worked with Jim Henson's.
I was going to say, I've heard his name in regards to the Henson. I'm a big Muppet fan.
Randy Simper was a famous puppet maker. He created Alf, which was a big puppet on a series called
Elf. I loved Alf. Melmac. He ate cats.
So I met with Randy Simper. I have the drawings for this, the original drawings, somewhere.
Oh, wow.
But we designed it together. I brought the drawings back to Jeff and Don Vanetta. And they said, okay, good, let's make it. So we made the puppet. And Randy said, you know, I'm going to put this Muppet fleece. This stuff right here is called Muppet fleece. Uh-huh. And we had to pay a royalty to Jim Henson's company. Because on camera, this particular material looks like fur.
Right, yeah.
So that was all discovered by Jim Henson. So this little guy was like $25,000.
Wow.
To build it from the ground up. Design it, build it, and make it a working puppet that could be eaten by a yellow lab.
Wow.
So that's the story.
Ranger Joe, indeed.
Ranger Joe.
So yes. Wait, was there a correlation?
Now we know the origin story and the ending story of, we basically know his entire life cycle, the life cycle of a woodchuck.
And he lives here looking like a really bad person who stepped on a landmine.
Oh.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put him back.
Was Ranger the dog first or Ranger Joe first? And did they have anything to do with each other?
I had Ranger Joe was first, and then okay. My son Luke wanted to name the dog. I said, you can name our dog when Ranger was a puppy. And he goes, can we name it a hockey name? And I said,
okay.
I said, sure. And he said, how about if we name him the New York Rangers? He said, I said, we could name him Ranger. And he goes, oh, that would be fun, Dad.
Aww. Okay.
So he named him, Luke named our dog Ranger. Aww. And now Luke is flying FedEx.
Right?
Wow.
Wasn't he the youngest pilot? Brag for a moment on your son, Luke. Wasn't he the youngest pilot for a particular airline or something that was hired?
He was one of the youngest captains at, yes. Is it WestJet? WestJet, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that an airline?
He's not my kid. I'm not sure.
WestJet, that rings a bell.
But yes.
So, he was one of the youngest captains flying a, I think it was an Embraer aircraft. Okay. So, yeah, but he loves his job. He's flying for FedEx and he does a lot of, Europe and, well, no, I take that back. He does a lot of Asia.
Okay.
Flies in Asia now. So he's flying 767s.
Wow.
And I just played in a hockey tournament with him in Denver. Mm. He said, Dad, he has this group of pilots from United and they go all over the world and they play hockey.
Right.
So they were in Reykjavik last year. They all met in Reykjavik and they played a 2-day hockey tournament. He said, Dad, do you want to come and play a game in Denver? And I said, well, sure. Okay. So that was a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, they said it's 4 games in 24 hours.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
That's what my body was saying. Whoa.
Yeah.
So we skated 2 games on Monday, 2 games on Tuesday, and I couldn't walk for a week.
Oh, God.
It was so fun. And I went and bought the little oxygen canisters.
Oh, right. Because you're at such a high altitude.
Luke, I'm going to buy oxygen canisters. He goes, oh, Dad, don't. Please don't. And so I bring them. And all these guys are way younger than me.
Right.
So so I've got oxygen canisters on the bench. And, you know, they're kind of making jokes and blah, blah, blah.
Until you use one.
The guys who weren't acclimated halfway through the first game were going, hey, can I? I'll try it. So,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
But Luke's doing great. He and his wife built a house in Sacramento.
I remember him as a little tiny bean.
He was a little baby when we were doing the whole house.
Yeah. Yes. What season? What season was he born?
He was born in 1990.
Okay. So it's probably season 3, 4, something right around there.
Something like that.
3 or 4. And he used to call the show Daddy's Show. Aww. Can I watch Daddy's Show?
Aww.
And I remember, you know, he would, I remember one time we went over to Mike Binder's house, comedian, director, producer, Mike Binder. Mm-hmm. And Luke was just a little guy. He was only 3 years old. And it was like the first time he had seen an episode of Full House. It was at Mike Binder's house, and he looked at me and he goes, where's Luke? Because he thought he saw all you guys and he thought they were our home movies.
Because he would see all of us.
He had seen so many home movies and knew your faces that he turned to me, and Mike Binder thought that was the funniest thing. Luke goes, "Where's Luke?" And I said, "Oh, you're not in this one.
This is my other family."
My other family. Yeah. So, and we laugh about that now, but I was trying to explain to him, no, this isn't our home videos.
Oh.
Because we were together all the time. And
yeah,
so sweet. You guys were always in the
home.
And
it was always, yeah, it's so funny. Like, I mean, I think back to when we were shooting Fuller House, and my kids were the youngest of you and me and Candace. Mm-hmm. Well, Felicity and Zoe were close in age.
Right.
But like all of our kids just coming to set and like that whole, like remembering you guys doing it with your kids and that it's just always been like, the bring your fam to work set, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it like just what a great environment that always was. And you know, we had Kelly Rizzo on the show the other day, and Aubrey was in the background, you know, and it's like just how much these families and these extended families of all of ours are so interconnected. Like it never fails to warm my heart, my cold, black, dead little heart.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
You mentioned the moms. Your moms were pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that your moms were really unique in that they weren't those overbearing showbiz moms.
Nope.
They let you guys have fun. They let you guys really enjoy the full experience, which meant, you know, hanging out with me and Bob and, you know, all our shenanigans. And your mom, I will say this, you know, they were constantly guarding you guys, mm-hmm. but they had your well-being was at the forefront of everything that happened.
Yep.
You know, really, you know, busy professional showbiz environment.
Yeah.
They were really gracious, just spectacular, because you hear so many stories about showbiz moms and showbiz parents.
We've met them. They've come through the cycle of Full and Fuller House, and we've seen them and gone, wow.
Mm-hmm. Not your moms though.
But normal.
Yeah.
Normal.
It normalized what could have been a really weird, strange environment. It really was unique in that it made it even more family than it already was. The moms were always there. And Barbara would bring cookies on show night. Yeah. Sherry, Andrea, your mom was always doing the birthday wall.
Yeah, the Polaroids. Yeah.
You know, Jody, your mom was so kind and was just, always there. Your moms were always there. So it was just like, me and Bob had to be very calculated with our shenanigans.
Oh yeah.
You were the uncles that, that like grow up, that the kids grow up around and get their sense of humor. The mom go, don't say that. And I'm like, but it's funny.
I can picture them in the bleachers just watching rehearsals.
Right.
And every once in a while they'd be like, Dave,
right, yeah.
Bob, oh, you gotta rein it in.
Or, the two of them would just look and go, oh, Janice is up there.
Well, and then I remember going. Do you guys remember me going and sitting up in the stands doing characters?
Oh, and
watching the show while we're rehearsing, and Dave would be creating some fan character up in the stands, and we're down there doing a scene, and Dave's up in the audience, like just being a random character, and we're all like. Anyway, like just going on. It's totally normal. This is just what we do.
Impossible to concentrate on the scene when Dave's up there doing a full routine.
Because I would do that. I would do the fake laughter guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Or I would.
Wait, can you do the fake laugh guy for everybody?
Yeah, do the fake laugh.
I'd just go, Full House. Or I would do, I would sit there and comment on the scene. I'd go, Jesse's in trouble. Oh, Stephanie's sad. And I would just
DJ's upset. Here.
I would just DJ's upset. But I would have all these, I'd have all these stupid characters. And it was just to make you guys laugh, but I want to button hook it back. Your moms would laugh so hard at that bit sitting up in the stands with me. They thought that was the funniest thing. And I remember Janice.
My mom thought always that you were the most hilarious one. She's like, Dave is the funniest. Dave is, sorry, Bob. He's sitting here staring at me with this painting. But my mom thought Dave was funnier. But she always, she really would always be like, Dave is just, and Bob just goes right for the toilet. But Dave just can't.
Dave's like, flying around the toilet.
Flying around, right. I was like.
but I just want to bring it back to your moms were just extraordinary. They were so wonderful. And it could have been really weird if they were really weird moms. It would have made the whole thing strange.
It could have. And I will say again, you guys as the adults on the show were always so inclusive of us as young people, which is not common on sets. Like it really, there's often such a division between like the adults and the kids, and there's really no interaction and the worlds kind of don't cross over. Mm-hmm. But our show was never designed like that. And just the people that we were as human beings weren't like that. We were all we all came from very family oriented people. We came from warm family environments with hugs. And so it was like, we just kind of all naturally became that together. And it included our parents and your parents, you guys talked to our moms. You didn't act like, oh, we're the actors and those are just the parents of the child stars. And that can kind of be how it is. And it wasn't like that on Fuller either. Like, because you guys really truly set that example for us that like, it's all, we're all in this. And you guys did a great job at really setting that tone.
And we didn't appreciate it at the time because we were so young and it was just normal that we didn't know any different. But now as 40-year-olds, we've seen a little bit more of the world out there and we're like, oh, this is very unique.
Yeah.
The
hearing like how other people grew up on shows and how their experience was, and how I'm always like, that was, wow, that sounds terrible. That was not art. Like, we actually had it really great.
Mm-hmm. We were you very know, lucky.
I was so proud of you guys through Fuller House, you know, to see, you know, these acting chops that you guys brought to the show. And, you know, and for me, it was funny because it was kind of like your characters in a way mirrored the three guy characters.
For sure.
Like mm-hmm. Andrea was me, Jody mm-hmm. was John, and Candace was Bob, you know?
Yeah, right,
and it's
right.
just like, you can't really even write that. It just kind of happened, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really cool, you know, and I talk about this all the time, how proud I was, especially when I got to direct you guys that, you know, during those episodes. It was just lovely. It was just like, you know, like I didn't have to tell you guys, like, here's something funny you can do. You guys just had that. And what a, you know, what a wonderful thing to see, you know, because that doesn't happen either.
Right.
You know?
Like, yeah. It really doesn't. The more I think we've been in this business, particularly as adults, and you work on other sets and you work with other people and you realize all of the things that we grew up sort of just assuming were normal on set, which is kind people and people that looked out for each other and no, you know, not egotistical and a fun environment and people that are funny and smart and like just show up for each other. And, you know, now as you get old, you like go to different sets and different places and you go, wow, that's not always the case. And like,
right.
And it's just, but it's incredible. Like, wow, we, you know, have done that and kept that going for years because it's just kind of who we all naturally were together. And like, what a cool experience that, you know, I the more I work in this business, the more we all realize is not the norm.
You know, I just did the Today Show last Friday, and you know, those people there, Al Roker, the people at the Today Show, you know, who've been there forever, they just love us.
Yeah.
It's
true. Like, shows just, like, they're so excited that the Full House cast to come on. It's wild.
Yeah, and I'm like, you guys are the Today Show. I'm Joe Schmo, you know, like. You know, but they were so excited. And when you have people pull you aside and go, there hasn't been this kind of excitement here in a long time. I'm like, don't you have like big guests on? Like, you know, I'm Dave, you know? But that was really nice to feel that and to see that and to be revered, you know? And I never accepted that. You know, so at this point in my life, I'm kind of like letting that all in. It's like, no, that's a really good thing. It's nice to be revered and Al Roker said, do you think there's going to be a Fullest House? And, you know, my answer was I would do it in a heartbeat, you know, if we could, you know, and I said, and the show I keep coming up with is we sit around, we're all just heavier and older and we sit around and drink coffee like the Friends cast and we keep Bob alive, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
His story.
It's Golden Girls. We all need some caftans, a lanai, some cheesecake. Bob can be in an urn like he's always said that he wanted.
Urn on the mantle there. Of the fireplace.
Yep. And we'll be like, there, that's it. He was his joke. Exactly. I am simply honoring him. I did it the other day when we were at a show. There was a large floral centerpiece and I picked it up and I said, I'm so glad Bob was here tonight. And Andrew was like, I said, he would have made the joke. Yes, he would have made the joke.
Yep. Oh, he'd be so proud of us making the, you know, because he loved Gallo's humor. When his sister Gay died, I went to the funeral. So I show up for the service. Bob has been waiting for me, right? He runs out to the parking lot, grabs my arm, and he goes, hey, do you want to see a dead body?
Oh my God.
What? What?
I remember this story.
He goes, I know where there's a dead body.
So,
come on.
So
and I'm like, Bob.
It's so dark.
But he was so dark. But you think about
it's the only way that he processed it. It's the only way that he processed it.
Well, yeah, between Bob and I, you know, I lost my sister Sharon. He lost his sister Andy and his sister Gay. And it was just, you know, that's how he, you know, first thing he said to me is, "Hey, we need to start a dead sisters club."
And Bob. I was like,
"Geez, Bob," you know, but I would laugh. It would make me laugh and it would take away the darkness and it would take away, you know, the onus of, oh my gosh, we really did just lose our sisters, you know, but that was his coping mechanism. And it would, it just, it lightened a very dark mood, you know, and he would,
I mean, I've been through some real dark stuff in my life and man, has it made for some great jokes, you know, like it.
Yeah.
And I learned that from him. Like I, you know, I think my mom definitely took things a little more seriously. My Janice is, you know, a little more reverential of certain things and I am irreverent. And so I would watch Bob make these jokes, you know, make these jokes about things. And I was like, oh, you can be that, like, you can make those jokes, it you know, and much to my mom's disappointment, I do. And, you know, so anyway, yeah.
Were you with us? I remember going up to Forest Lawn on a lunch break from Full House one day, and we went, Bob took us to Gay's gravesite. And just for a quiet moment, and we were like, it was very somber, and we were just...
I think it was after, it was like before a tape night.
I think it was before a tape night.
It was like went to dinner, and
And so he's like, let's just stop by the cemetery and visit Gay. And we're like, okay. So we're like, we're standing around the gravesite. We're looking at her name, Gay Saget. And Bob just pops up and says, oh, well, yeah, homosexual wouldn't fit on the birth certificate. So we had to name her Gay Saget instead of, I know, that's just what he did. Like, he interrupts a somber moment with an inappropriate joke. So.
Yeah. Yeah. he loved to tell the story about when his mom, Dolly, was in her final week.
Yes.
John and Bob were already at the hospital, and they said, Dave, you got to come over here. I said, okay, I'll be there shortly. So I went, and Bob and John were sitting next to Dolly. Mm-hmm. And she had had her hair done, her makeup was done, and she was just bathed in this light. And they were both sitting next to her, and she had this huge smile on her face when I walked in. Aww. And I walked in and I said, oh my gosh, Dolly, you look like an angel. She goes, not yet. And this was a week before she passed away.
I mean,
and so, you know, John, Bob, and I went out into the hallway and we were crying, holding each other in a hug and laughing. And during the laugh, I farted. And
of course you did.
Bob said, and we're in the hallway and now we're crying and laughing. And now we're laughing harder and crying because I farted because I couldn't hold it, you know. And Bob stops, he looks at me and John, he goes, we better go check on my mom. You might have just killed her. So Bob loved telling the story. He goes, I think Dave's fart eventually killed my mom.
Oh, jeez.
But I mean, it doesn't get any funnier than that. It doesn't get any sicker or funnier than that. You know?
And that's like, you have, I think so much, I mean, comedy is just, you know, time plus pain equals comedy, or whatever the W.C. Fields quote is,
right.
You know.
Right.
And
don't work with children or pet or animals.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He did say that, but yeah. What the f*** did he know? Sorry. That we can bleep that out. We try to keep it clean on this show. It's really hard. I'm doing my best. Well, Fanaritos, there is so much to cover with Dave that we are going to finish it up with him next week in part two of his interview. So make sure you follow us on Instagram. Check out at How Rude Podcast. You can send us an email at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. Send us your questions, your likes, your comments. Subscribe and follow the podcast. We are so excited and having so much fun here doing this with you all. So remember, everybody, until next time, the world is small and the house is full.
You're getting a little too good at this.
I know. Jody. Season two. This is the thing I'm going to master. I'm going to screw something else up, though.
We'll find something else. Yep.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.